CBS Television Network takes you to the office and summer home of the President of the United Arab Republic. We are at the source, the physical setting in which Gamal Abdel Nasser acts on important questions which affect his country and the rest of the Arab world and the relations between East and West as well. In an informal and spontaneous discussion recorded near Alexandria during the past week, President Nasser meets with Chief CBS News Washington correspondent Howard K. Smith and CBS News European correspondent Eric Severide. Now, for President Nasser's views on world developments and domestic affairs, let us join their discussion at the source. Here is Howard K. Smith.
President Nasser, by far the sharpest crisis now in existence and the one which the audience watching this interview is most absorbed by is Berlin. Could you tell me what is the view of a leading neutralist leader like yourself about Berlin? Do you tend, like the cartoons in some Egyptian papers, to equate the arguments of both sides and find both sides equally right and wrong?
Well, we look to Berlin crisis as a result of the Second World War. It is not, of course, an easy problem. It is a very difficult problem. It needs patience from each side. And the only way to solve this problem is negotiations. Neither threats nor declarations will help solve this problem.
Mr. President, I think you said the other day that you would like to see Germany united by a confederation of the two Germanys that now exist. That is the Russian line on this. Are you going to push this proposal, for example, at the Belgrade Neutralist Conference?
But what I said was that there are two social systems in the two Germanys. Capitalist system in the Western Germany and communist in the Eastern Germany. We are against partition. We are for the unity because we suffer from partition according to the Palestine problem. And that's, I said, that's why this problem is very difficult, because each bloc will support the social system which it adopts. But I haven't said a definite proposal.
You are not prepared to make this a definite proposal at Belgrade in a few days,
well, time. Of course, at Belgrade, we will study together the problem and we will agree about our stand.
What else do you expect to come from that Belgrade meeting of neutralists next week, which I think you are the co-sponsor of, aren't you?
Yes, but of course we will deal with the international problems.
How about disarmament? Have you got any
concrete
plans?
Of course, we cannot neglect disarmament. We cannot neglect putting an end to atomic experiments. And of course, we will not be able to neglect any of the main crises in the world today.
Mr. President, can you tell us anything about the letter you received from Mr. Khrushchev about Berlin?
Well, Mr. Khrushchev expressed to me his point of view according to the Berlin crisis in this letter.
Well, I'm sure he did that. You can't tell us any more details?
Well, of course, this is well known. He said that he is in favor of the Federation and he is in favor of one Germany and two Germanys must negotiate.
Can you tell us anything about your reply to the letter?
Well, I'm just preparing my reply as an answer. Of course, our main object is to help for solving this problem by peaceful means and to put an end to the tension or to ease in the tension which resulted at this question of Berlin.
Sir, recently the Soviet press carried some very strong criticisms of your government, and I think the press in the UAR carried some criticisms of the Soviet Union. Does that mean that relations have become less friendly? What does it mean?
Well, it means that we were attacked by some of the Soviet press and we answered these attacks and we tried to explain that they were wrong. But there was no result affecting the relations between the two governments of the United Arab Republic and the Soviet Union.
What was their essential criticism?
Well, they said that some of the communists were arrested in Syria and they said that one of these communists were dead. And it was clear that this man was in good health. then we denied this news and we asked the Truth, the newspaper, to publish our denial. But there was no, there was nothing of that sort. That's why we counterattacked.
Mr. President, Mr. Khrushchev once said that there are neutral governments, but there are no neutral men. Do you feel that you, as an individual man, are truly neutral in your mind and your heart about these problems?
Well, I think neutrality is something to be said only during war, but I say that we adopt a policy of non-alignment. That is to say that we are not committed to any bloc. We are not committed to the United States, to follow the United States, whatever it is right or wrong, or to the Soviet Union, whatever it is right or wrong. We have to decide our point of view according to any question as we believe, and we have to say it.
But you don't feel in yourself any emotional attachment one to one side more than the other at all?
Well, of course, if there is some something which is related to us in the United States, of course. If I realize that they are not fair when they are dealing with us and take the side of Israel and neglect all our rights, of course I cannot escape to be bitter. This is something, but this is not at all affecting the policy of non-alignment.
Sir, in that connection, could you tell us anything about the letter that President Kennedy sent to you some time ago?
Well, I think some parts of this letter were published in the United States. And he said he wants to see an end to the tension in this area, and if we are willing, he will try to see a solution for the refugees and so on, and to work in the framework of the Conciliation Committee of the United Nations.
What is your reaction to that?
Well, of course, our reaction was that there are two dangers from Israel. The first danger is their action against the Palestinians, getting rid of them, expelling them out of their land, depriving them of their property, of everything. The other thing is the threat against us. I realized that during the Israeli campaign last week, by reading the newspapers and reading the speeches, it was clear that Israel is looking for expansion because the parties blamed each other because they haven't occupied the western bank of the Jordan or Gaza sector or occupied part from Syria.
Are you saying, sir, that you expect another attack from Israel?
Well, I can expect any attack from Israel any day, now, tomorrow, or after tomorrow. They are building their armed forces, receiving aids from the West, mainly receiving modern arms from France.
Are your arms as modern as theirs?
Yes. So well, of course, we have to get arms in order to compete with their arms. If they get Mirage, we have to get better planes than MiG-15 or MiG-17.
So recently, at your 9th anniversary celebrations, Field Marshal Ameir made the statement that the UAR armed forces now dominate the East Mediterranean. What did that mean? Did that mean they're the strongest force in this area, stronger than the Israeli forces? Or?
Well, it means that our armed forces are ready to face any aggression.
He also made the statement that
they are no longer limited to the mission of defending your frontiers. How do you interpret that?
Well, of course, we are a member of the Arab Collective Security Pact, and if any attack against any of the Arab nations or Arab states, of course, we will fight with them.
What do you want to see done eventually, Mr. President, with these small sheikdoms in the Persian Gulf, these little oil countries? What is their future in this part of the world?
Well, of course, I cannot decide the future of these protectorates or sheikhs, but they must be independent. Then they must live inside the Arab family. And then, of course, they must have reforms in their country.
There have been stories in the British press recently that sabotage gangs have been blowing up things in that area, gangs directed from here. What is your reply to that?
Well, don't believe these stories in the British newspapers. I think I read many stories and I asked the intelligence, I asked the responsible people, but it was nonsense. We don't have bottoms here to use in order to raise sabotage gangs. It is nonsense. They said that 55, 56. And we look to it as propaganda against us, black propaganda.
Other people think you are more powerful than you think you are?
Well, you know, we are people of idea. We have our ideas. We express our ideas according to the feelings of the people. Of course, there are great reactions to these ideas. Many people believe in these ideas. Many people feel that we speak what they feel. So they support our ideas. They support the Arab nationalists. We don't know these people. We don't have links with any of the parties in any of the Arab countries or the groups, because if we have a link of any party or any group, all the others will be against us.
Sir, I know you're extremely interested in Arab unity. Why is it that it's so hard to achieve Arab unity?
It's been said that the Arabs are mainly united on Israel, but on most other things they're not united. Is that fair?
Well, of course, the Arab people are united. They are one people. There are many countries, but of course there are many, or there are some misunderstandings between the governments. But they were united, of course, in the case of Benzert, when Benzert faced the French aggression. Then they were united to support the Algerian people. But the governments, as a result of foreign influence in the past and the remnants of this foreign influence, they were not able to reach understanding.
Now, sir, lately, you've sent a letter to King Hussein of Jordan, and you seem to have come somewhat closer to Bourguiba of Tunisia,
and relations with Qassem in Iraq seem to be a little better. Altogether, there seems to be a little more harmony now than there's been. Why is that the case?
Well, of course, the misunderstanding was as a result of reasons and as a result of factors. Of course, it is not an object at all to have misunderstanding. The object is to have understanding and to have Arab unity. And I said always that Arab unity begins from solidarity to constitutional unity. So if there is any opportunity to reach an agreement, we must not miss this opportunity.
Mr. President, I think some time ago you referred to General Qassem as in alliance with the British, the Communists, and the Zionists, if I'm quoting this correctly.
Myself.
Did you make that?
Well, for 2 years or 3 years, I haven't said anything specifically according to Premier Qassem.
And those are not your views about
it? No, I haven't said something like that.
Sir, I want to ask you one more question about Israel.
At the time of President Kennedy's letter to you, Al Akbar, the newspaper in Cairo, made the statement that we believe that the completely honorable solution of the Palestine question is that Israel be removed from existence. Is that a statement of what the government feels as well, or do you think there's some solution which is possible short of?
Well, we feel and we think that the rights of the Arabs of Palestine must be regained, because more than 1 million Arabs were expelled of their territory. They must return back to their land. Well, what is the point of view of the Israeli government? The Israeli government refused. They said that they will not permit any of these Arabs to return back, and they want immigration, Jewish immigration from outside. So in the Bandung conference, in all the conference, we said that we want the United Nations resolutions according to the Palestine problem be implemented. Well, what was the point of view of the Israeli government? They said, no, nothing of these resolutions will be put into effect.
Well, now, since the Israelis refuse these terms, and since you insist on them, then no solution is possible, it seems, without conflict. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, there is a conflict and there is a problem, of course. And there is a threat also.
I wonder if I can turn to a wider foreign affairs just for a moment.
Some time ago you said the United Nations should have its structure altered to fit changing times. Did that mean that you're in favor of the Russian Troika proposal of having three men run the UN instead of one Secretary General?
Well, of course, we want the United Nations to have the opportunity to be working urgent. or organization. And of course, at the beginning of the United Nations, there was about 50 countries, now 99 countries. So from 45 to 61, there is a period to reorganize the United Nations. We haven't said specifically what is our point of view according to this reorganization. But we said that there must be reorganization because the United Nations today is different from the United Nations of 45.
Can you say what you would be in favor of? Would you be in favor of a...
We don't have specific suggestions.
In general, Mr. President, are you more pleased with American foreign policy under the present administration in Washington than you were in the previous administration? Do you notice any difference for this part of the world?
What do you mean by pleased? With us?
Our
with
attitude.
Relations
United
with our
States.
Country.
Yes.
Well, of course, we... want to have good relations. It is one of our objects to have good relations with the United States, with all the world countries. But of course, the Israeli problem is always a barrier between good relations between our two countries. We want to see the United States government, then the United States press, of course, taking neutral view, but not taking sides in this conflict.
I think you said at the time of the Congo crisis was rather acute that the United States was acting in an imperialistic way there, or at least the Cairo press kept saying this. Are those your feelings about our behavior in the Congo question?
Well, of course, if the United States declared that they support Kazabobo, then Kazabobo arrests Lumumba and handed to Chombi, and then Chombi killed Lumumba. Who will be responsible about that? I think the United States.
You think we're responsible?
Because you supported Kazabobo, and Kazabobo was liquidating the national elements in Congo.
Well, isn't it true that the United Nations supported Kazabobo?
I remember statements from the United States. Of course, the United Nations supported Kazabobo and accepted him as President of Congo, but the United States declared that they support Kazabobo. The next day of the death of Lumumba, the United States declared that they support Kazabobo. And I said in one of my speeches at Damascus, by that time it was February, that if the United States say that they support Kazabobo, and Kazabobo was the man who handed Lumumba to Chombi, to be killed by Chombi, then everyone will blame the United States about this crime. That's what I said by that time.
Do you feel that the United States really has imperialistic designs in Africa?
Well, it depends, of course, about the attitude of the United States. If you try to interfere to support some people against the other, what will be the meaning of that? If you support Kazabobo against Lumumba, why you adopt this policy? If Lumumba was the legal Prime Minister, and then you support Kazabobo, if you support the elimination, the liquidation of the national elements, what will be the interpretation of that?
President Nasser, isn't it true that the United Nations did not take any unilateral action in the Congo, and the only great power that did take unilateral action, contrary to the UN, was Russia? I'm wondering how America can be called imperialist when she actually didn't intervene.
I would affirm.
America did not intervene unilaterally in the Congo.
Well, nobody can say. I think all the big powers intervene everywhere. So we cannot close our eyes and say that America don't intervene. America have interests in Congo. America have interests in the Middle East. America have interests everywhere. And of course, sometimes they work in order to secure these interests. How they work? By supporting a man like Kazabobo. And, of course, giving him all power to liquidate the national elements.
Sir, I wonder if we can switch to domestic Egyptian matters now. Since you have been the chief of government in Egypt, the population has increased 3,500,000. Isn't there a tendency for the population to increase faster than you can increase the economic resources?
Well, we have a plan to double our national income within 10 years. This means that, in average, we will increase our national income by 10% every year. The increase of population is 2% or 2.2% every year. So there will be great difference between the increase of the national income and the increase of population. And by the end of the 10 years, we will be doubling the national income But in the same time, we'll face increase of population, and the difference will be a 75% increase in the national income per individual.
Per capita. Are you making any direct efforts to discourage more births, to try to keep families smaller?
We think that the only way is education, because education will give the opportunity to the people to understand, and turning, of course, the farmers to be industrial workers, because the farmers have more children than the industrial workers. By increasing industry, we are solving this problem.
Now, recently, you
completed the nationalization of many and complete control of many industries and businesses. Now, was this part of your original revolutionary plan 9 years ago? Or is this something that you have decided on just recently to meet the situation that has arisen?
There was no plan 9 years ago, but there were some principles: putting an end to colonialism, putting an end to feudalism, putting an end to the exploitation of capitalists, and having social justice. And after that, we tried to implement the six principles. And of course, day by day and month by month, we were able to have decisions in order to implement these principles.
Does it stop there, Mr. President, with this amount of nationalization of industry, or are you apt to find yourself on a road that will mean a real totalitarian kind of economic control?
Well, I was asked this question, especially by many of the capitalists, and I was not able to answer. I said it is impossible to have a frame, but we believe that the individual activity in economy must be permitted, but on one condition, that there will be no exploitation to the country or to the people.
So can you tell me what you consider to be the main difference between your economic system as it has now evolved and the communist economic system?
Well, I think socialism is not economy, it is the way of life. And communism is not only economy, it is a way of life. And there are some great differences in our way of life. We think that there are classes. There was feudalism, corrupted capitalism, then about 4% or 5% of the people were taking everything, the rest were deprived of the necessities. We said that we will solve these class conflicts, but by peaceful means, not by power, not by force. And we will have the opportunity to mix the classes together and not to have the proletariat getting rid of the bourgeois and having the government and liquidating the bourgeois, getting from them everything. This is the great difference.
Mr. President, you
run for re-election next year, is it?
No, there is no program for that. Elections?
I'm sorry, you have a term of how many years? I think...
6 years.
But that is over next year, is it not?
No, I was elected by 58 for the second time. Well, I haven't completed the first time. The first time was in Egypt, 56 for 6 years, the past 2 years. Then after that, I was elected for the United Arab Republic.
I'm sorry, my error.
What do you plan to do about allowing political parties to organize, which now cannot organize?
Well, of course, now if we organize political parties, there will be a party of feudalists, a party of capitalists, and then a party, a communist party, party working with colonial powers. And this will affect all our development and all our plans to have a new society, welfare society. So, of course, and we will be indulged because of these parties in the Cold War. Now we are trying to put an end to the class conflicts, and we are trying to put an end to the inheritance which we inherited after thousands of years, try to bring the classes very near to each other and then liquidate the classes and try to have individuals, every individual have his opportunity, have his income according to his work. If we achieve that, what will be the main object of parties. There will be no feudalist parties because there will be no feudalism. Then there will be no corrupted capitalist parties as it was to dominate the country for their own exploitation. Then there may be parties in the future, but these parties will be different from the parties which were going on in this country before the revolution, not serving the interests of few people, but working or acting in order to fulfill the object. That's a welfare state.
President Nasser, you're now in the 10th year of your revolution. Could you say briefly what you consider to be your proudest achievement in your view?
Well, the main question, we fulfilled many industries. We doubled our national income, and we are now beginning to double it again. We faced aggression. We were able to have our canal. But the main question is the spirit of the people. I think the spirit of the people and their insistence to fulfill this object is the main achievement.
Can you tell me, in a sentence, what your main disappointment has been?
Well, of course, the main disappointment was the resources. We are in need of resources. We have great ambitions to develop this country.
On that note, I'm afraid our time has run out. Thank you very much for letting us come here to your house and your office to talk to you.
Thank you. Thank
you. This has been an informal and spontaneous discussion with the President of the United Arab Republic, Gamal Abdel Nasser, and originated at the source in his summer home and office in Mamoura near Alexandria, Egypt, the United Arab Republic. President Nasser was questioned by Chief CBS News Washington correspondent Howard K. Smith and CBS News European correspondent Eric Severide. For a printed copy of this program, the views of President Gamal Abdel Nasser on current world developments, send a stamped self-addressed envelope and 10 cents to At the Source, Post Office Box 200, Washington 4, D.C. We will repeat that address. Send a stamped self-addressed envelope and 10 cents to At the Source, Post Office Box 200, Washington 4, D.C.